This is Living Real Radio, real issues in real time with your host, John Angotti, Greg Walton, Robert Fiducia, and Julianne Staley. Living Real Radio is sponsored by Closets by Design. Imagine your home totally organized by Closets by Design. Call them today to schedule your appointment at 615-261-8700. That's 615-261-8700.
Morning, welcome to Living Real Radio. I'm your host, John Angotti, with Greg Walton, Julianne Staley. Robert Fiducia is in Colorado giving a retreat. And our guest today is Javier Mendoza, who lives here in Nashville, but is from Spain originally and lived in St. Louis, Missouri. So welcome, Javier.
Thank you very much.
Also known as Hobo Kane.
Hobo Kane, artist name Hobo Kane.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Tell us about how you got to that name.
I was under my own name, Javier Mendoza, for many years, and especially in St. Louis and other parts of the country, and just realized that it took me about 15 years to get people not to stereotype my music. So, you know, when people would come in hearing Javier Mendoza, they would think I was Latin something or flamenco the other or jazz Latin something, or Enrique Iglesias. So when I came here 6 years ago, I thought it would just be kind of a great way to just reinvent myself. And how I came up with Hobo Kane, everybody in my neighborhood in Spain called me Javi. So I thought hobo kind of sounded like Javi. And I liked the definition of a hobo being a migrant or a transient worker moving from place to place, which has been basically my life. And then Kane comes from my mom's maiden name, which is Cañas, which is really the side of the whole artistic side of my family. And Cañas is a cane, like a sugar cane. And so I didn't like canes. I didn't like the S. So I took out the S, and there you have it, Hobo Kane.
Nice.
Awesome. And you've been playing for a long, long time. And
I've been playing for about 25 years now.
How many recordings do you have?
About 14 albums.
Wow. I said we have the same. We have 14.
Yeah. What about that?
You'll probably sell more than mine, dude.
I don't know.
Yeah. Yours is cool, though, the music that you do. And being bilingual, that's awesome.
I think that's been great. It was an accident. It was not a shtick for me or anything. I grew up listening to English rock and grew up speaking Spanish, and I just kind of fused into one.
Well, you know, it's interesting to have him on the show. Last night I was talking with Father Bala, and we're going to be having Tony Melendez come. You know who Tony Melendez is? Mm-hmm. You know Tony Melendez? He has no arms. He's a Catholic artist. And how this community here is split with our Hispanic community and the Anglo community. And one of the things is the language barrier that we all have, you know, and to be able to, but you have the ability to break down those walls, I think that because cultural things are difficult.
Right, and I think people tend to gravitate towards what they know when they feel comfortable, which is so naturally people isolate themselves naturally. I don't think it's necessarily Anglo community isolating themselves. It's just people tend to gravitate because they come from a different country or a different culture. It used to happen at the university where I went, where all my Spanish friends from Spain, everybody was coming to the United States to learn English, but we're all hanging out together and speaking Spanish. Yeah. So I love the idea of being able to fuse those together so that people can really communicate with one another.
I think we drift. I don't know if it's so much an intentional prejudice, but probably more of our comfort. We don't like discomfort, whether it be like kind of guessing, you know, like saying the right thing or maybe some of the nuances, right? Or language differences. But at the same time, we've talked a little bit about proximity and the importance of proximity with each other in terms of kind of immersing ourselves into some of our differences.
It's almost like, you know, when you walk into an elevator and there's that sense for some reason of discomfort if you're too close.
Yeah.
But, you know, in a way, that lack of language or lack of culture is that too close where I'm not sure if...
We second guess.
We second guess each other, absolutely.
Yeah.
You ever see driving down the road with motorcycle drivers to each other, they always do this sign. Have you ever noticed that?
Yeah, I have.
They won't give it to anybody else, but if you're on a motorcycle, you know.
They give the sign.
Yeah. And so I had like a scooter. And I was riding the scooter, and they wouldn't give me the sign.
Because you were a scooter.
Because I was riding a scooter, not a Harley, you know. So there's various forms of dividing ourselves, I guess. But anyway, nevertheless, that was supposed to be funny, and it wasn't that funny.
No, but it's true.
Julianne's, she's laughing her head off right now, going, "You're a stupid dad." Just go on.
And, just envisioning you on a scooter right now is just...
Well, it was a cool scooter.
Oh,
I mean, you
right.
know, it looked like a bike, but it was cheap, and it was easy on gas, and it went about 80 miles an hour. Yeah. Also got hit by another car and about killed me, too. So yeah, so hence we don't do that any longer, but nevertheless, I digress into another realm. But anyway, it's great to have you, and tell us about your career, where you, 'cause you're coming from Spain, and how you got to the United States.
Yeah, well, I just played the guitar. I didn't really ever had any dreams of becoming a musician or an artist. I wanted to be a professional soccer player. And I came to the States with a soccer scholarship to play for St. Louis University. And then there I just was filled with injuries. And I had like 4 songs that I had written in Spanish with this other artist. And it was the guy, he presented, he went for a job interview actually, and he presented him to this guy named Ken Hensley, who happened to be in the band Uriah Heep. Hmm. And he loved the singer. He said, "Who's the singer?" So, you know, and it was me. So he came up, we talked, and he presented me to Writers in the Round in Miami at the Latin Billboard Conference. And so I showcased, and I got a publishing deal. So it was kind of a fluke in a way, because I really didn't have that much music on me. And then as a staff writer, I just started writing and writing and writing. And, you know, things that happened while I was at the, with Warner Chappell, I ended up losing the deal. But I thought I had that advance for music, and I'm like, well, I'm just going to keep doing this full time. And so here I am, 20-something years later, doing music.
Wow. So it wasn't like it was just kind of like a hobby. It wasn't something that you set out to.
Yeah, no, I mean, I didn't even think I was that good. So, I mean, I just liked playing guitar. My dad played guitar, my brother and my sister. And so I learned church songs from my sister, Led Zeppelin from my brother, and mariachi songs from my dad. And I just thought it was cool. And I remember I was dating this girl in high school, and I thought it'd be romantic. So I started singing to her a song by the Eagles. And she said, "Hey, you need to try out for Annie." That was the musical that was playing in the high school. So I did, and the music teacher said, "Oh, well, I need you in my elite choir." And then just people start telling you, "Hey, you're good. And you just start believing it, and you keep going. And so that's kind of how until I got that publishing deal, I never really intended to do music as a profession. And now I can't see myself doing anything else.
That's incredible.
Yeah. And your faith journey along the way, you grew up Catholic in Spain? And
oh, you know, I did. I grew up a fearful Catholic.
Fearful Catholic? Like the rest of us, yes.
From the Spanish, culture. But it was really coming to the United States where I became more of a believer. And it was actually through, he's one of my best friends. His name is Father Gary Braun. At Catholic Student Center in Washington University. And I went there, and he was new, and he had just this really energetic way of captivating the young students. And he asked me if I would sing in the choir. I told him I sang. And I said, "I just don't like the music at church." And he goes, "Well, why don't you write something?" So I wrote my first record ever was actually... subsidized by the Catholic Student Center. They paid for it. And I wrote, mass parts and a 10-song album. Yeah, it's called... And I did it under the name Breath of Salvation. That was my first band. So, and then from there, I started playing shows. And really, it was the Catholic community that would come to see me. So I started getting people wanting to book me because I had the same 200 people from the Catholic Student Center come to all my shows.
Wow.
And that just grew. So really, my connection really was with that, and through a lot of his homilies, I thought my first even secular songs were really based on the messages from Father Gary Braun.
Cool. That's great.
And how'd you get to Nashville just to come to?
My wife got a job. So we thought, she asked me, you know, because for me, leaving St. Louis was, you know, leaving a lot of shows, and she was going to basically take over in a sense, she being the moneymaker in the family. But for me, it would be an opportunity. I said, let's do it. Because I thought I'd climax or hit, you know, the maximum I was going to get to in St. Louis. And I thought I had everything to gain by coming to Nashville and start maybe writing again and meeting people and connecting. There's obviously industry here.
Right.
And so I thought it was a great opportunity, and here we are.
I think it's neat that kind of that origin, though, in the church, you know, in a way, the church being a patron of the arts.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
No, on absolutely. Your behalf. And actually, it's something that we've been exploring here at St. Philip, like with the St. Philip Arts and Liturgy Institute,
right.
too, you know, is the fact that, you know, in the public schools, the arts are kind of losing their support as we try to pump up academics and the, you know, the test scores and all that. But if anybody has an active interest to foster the arts, it's the church, because we sing, you know, we create, we have art and environment and song and corporate worship.
I mean, music helps prayer.
Yeah,
absolutely. For me, if it weren't for music, I don't know if I'd connect the same way to God.
But yeah, and I say I owe a lot to my elementary education in music, to the church community I grew up in as well. And John, you as well. I mean, with your mom playing in the church.
Yeah, and all that kind of stuff. And the arts, you know, the arts from like in Europe and all the paintings and all that beautiful artwork.
Some of the best art in the world comes from Christendom.
Yeah, it's a lot of it's in the Vatican and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
Well, it's like the transcendentals, truth, beauty, goodness, unity. Yeah. But beauty, you know, it appeals to you at first because it's something that you can tangibly see, and it's visual, or, you know, you hear it audibly, but that's something that catches your attention. But that's one of the core beliefs of the church and understanding how you can connect to God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is why we like to bring musicians and stuff on, because of the beauty that it, you know, music, I think, reveals God in a unique way, because words are not enough.
I think that's it. I think you hit it. Right. You know, it's words sometimes is not enough. There's so many times I sit in a church by myself and I'm not connecting somehow. I'm just sitting there. And then there's a piano and I just start playing it. I'm just playing a chord. I'm not even saying a word. And all of a sudden I just get into tears. There's a connection for me when it comes to music and the presence of God.
Yeah.
Well, let's hear a song.
Yeah, let's hear a song.
Yeah. What do you got for us?
All right. So I'm going to start with a song that people are not going to understand. So it's going to be a song in Spanish. Well, hopefully some people do understand this song. But it's a song called El Jardín, which is the title track of my new album. And it's called En Mi Jardín, which is In My Garden. And the idea of, honestly, this album came out of one song, and I had no idea. I didn't know, I'm sure you know this, but you get to a point in when you write an album and you start going, do I have another song in me? I mean, or do I have another good one? I'm not sure. And that's how I felt. I'm like, I don't even know if I have 10 songs. And so I had this song called Love is a Garden, and I started thinking, I'm just going to put together three songs, and all of a sudden this entire message came out, and so that's why I wanted to call this album El Jardín, the garden, because I feel that there's with love and there's growth and passion, and in this case this song was in Spanish. I co-wrote it with my cousins Julieta and Juan, and it's one of my favorite tunes. So here it is. This is En Mi Jardín.
En mi jardín yo sembraré un amor de tierra y piel, flor abierta sin espinas, un vergel de imaginación donde crece la emoción para iluminar la vida. Como un milagro haré crecer amor de leche y miel. Y a su sombra hallaré tu risa. Rosas repletas de ilusión que te salven del rincón y vuelvan tus noches días. Y plantaré y veré brotar un olivo para no olvidar que mi corazón aún sigue intacto en mi jardín. Vuelve la improvisación y en la brisa suena el eco de ese primer canto. En mi jardín cultivaré el silencio y el placer que te arropen las heridas. Girasoles que al abrir su corona en mi jardín se giren si tú los miras. Y plantaré y veré brotar un olivo para no olvidar que mi corazón aún sigue intacto en mi jardín. Vuelve la improvisación y en la brisa suena el eco de ese primer canto. En mi jardín yo sembraré pasión dentro de tu habitación y así olvidar.
Javier Mendoza, Hobo Kane. We'll be right back with a little break to hear from our sponsor. You're listening to Living Real Radio on Hippie Radio 94.5.
Honey, have you seen my Allen wrench?
Mom, where's my baseball glove?
Dad, do you know where my ballet shoes are?
Has anyone seen my phone charger? I can't find it anywhere.
Tired of losing things? Tired of the clutter? Let Closets by Design help you organize your life. Have one of their experts come to your home for a free in-home design consultation. Whether it's a small closet, your office space, or pantry, or even a big garage, Closets by Design can help you make the most from the space you already have. And all units are built in their factory right here in Franklin, Tennessee. Call them today at 615-261-8700. That's 615-261-8700. You'll be amazed at what Closets by Design can do for you and your family. It's the best time of year to organize your entire home. Right now, get 40% off. You heard me right. 40% off their everyday low prices, plus free installation. Call Closets by Design today, 615-261-8700, or visit closetsbydesign.com.
You're listening to Living Real Radio on Hippie Radio 94.5.
Well, welcome back to Living Real Radio on Hippie Radio 94.5. And, I'm here with my co-host, John Angotti, Julianne Staley. I'm Greg Walton. And our guest, Hobo Kane, artist. And so Javier, also known Javier Mendoza, artist name Hobo Kane. So Javier, how has our climate, you know, affected you, you know, at...
The political climate. The
political climate that we're in right now, with the border and everything else. How's it affected you personally, you know? And
well, I mean, obviously, I tend to be more, I have more liberal thinking. So in a political sense, I always have a harder time when things go more conservative in general. But I think things have gotten where it's beyond political. At this point, I can't even get to talking about politics with anybody. First of all, I don't talk politics because I'm pretty ignorant when it comes to politics. But I do know about, you know, human rights, and I believe that's is being attacked. And I think I lived in Germany when the wall came down, the Berlin Wall came down. And it's just a realization that walls don't work. Walls cannot keep people in and cannot keep people out. And all it does is it creates a, it just creates a negative message. And it, there's proof that I think there's been more migration since the talks of the wall. I think it creates more violence. It's a separation. We are neighbors, you know, and I get it. There are a lot of problems that come with immigration, but a wall is not the answer. And definitely separating families, children from their parents is atrocious.
Right.
That is something that angers me. So how's it affected me personally? Well, I'm sad. I'm sad and angry because I think the United States is more than a country. It's supposed to be a vision, an idea, and I think it's being, you know, vulgarized into being just another country, and it's supposed to be bigger than that. I think it still is. I think the country is run more by the people. I believe that, and I see so much love in people and so much support and so much protest happening. I think that's something that I've seen more than, I mean, since the 70s, you know, that people are taking the streets, and I see power in that. So, I mean, there's definitely a lot of hope in it. And it affects me. I mean, it affects me how I write, how I perform when I go out on stage. I mean, I'm not saying I'm afraid of going on stage, but it definitely crosses my mind how people are going to react to the fact that I'm singing in a different language. Mm-hmm. At times.
I think here at St. Philip, you know, we also kind of we want to unify our communities, but we have struggles ourselves, and part of it is, I think, more language. But Dion Clay came up with this one idea called "We need to celebrate our differences." You know, and how do we, you know, how do we do that when we automatically go to our own groups? You know, I don't know. I haven't been able to crack the code to bring people together from two different languages. It's a tough. I don't know of a way to bring folks together that we really, really need, especially people of faith.
Sure.
You know, because we all have the commonality. So in the Catholic Church, you know, the Eucharist is the center of all of our lives, no matter what language we're speaking. Mm-hmm. And, you know, how to bring people in together to worship together. So, you know, it's like I was having this conversation that if you have a Hispanic priest, you know, the Hispanic people are going to love that priest. But if you bring an Anglo priest in there, they're not going to necessarily connect with him. And it's the same with the Anglo community. You know, they'll go to more of a person that they can understand their language, you know, and they'll dish them a little bit if they don't. You know, it's, you know what I'm saying?
You know,
like people have left here because they don't understand, perhaps their ear hasn't developed to what the priest may be saying. You know,
I definitely think that lack of language should not be a barrier in communication. And what I mean by that, I think, you know, everybody or most Hispanic people that I know speak a little bit of English. The more we isolate them, the less they're going to want to. And I think that many, and in the case for me, obviously it's a Spanish-English thing. I mean, if it's German, I speak a little bit of that. But I think the community, the division, if anything, is happening more between the Hispanic and the you know, English-speaking community. But I think that many people can communicate more than we think. I'm reading this book, the autobiography by Nelson Mandela, and he speaks about being in prison and being able to learn Afrikaner from his you know, his oppressor and the other learning English from him. And they hated each other in a way, but he found a way to to be able to find a middle ground so that he could continue being to live in some kind of harmony within his imprisonment. And so what I'm getting at, I mean, if there, it's possible for them to those two people to be able to communicate, not knowing each other's language. I think it's possible.
And there's another part of it too. And I think in kind of recognizing the unique qualities that our cultures bring to the table as gift, mm-hmm. as opposed to something that's a threat or a change. But, you know, there's so many, I'm sure, nuances I can't even think of right now historically that have, you know, brought beautiful things to our culture and our tradition. You know, I do a presentation on welcoming the stranger, and I pull up some old political cartoons, you know, from way, way back. And one of them is actually, kind of some negative propaganda on the Irish, right? You know, that, and they have this domestic servant who's an Irish woman bullying the housewife, you know, kind of deal. And this is what this change is bringing to the table, you know? So, you know, it's something that I think is kind of, we've cycled through again and again and again. And right now the cycle is probably hardest on the Hispanic community and people who are brown, you know? In general.
And I yeah. see that also. I mean, I understand that now maybe also harder because of the there's this feeling, you know, around the sentiment that they're being persecuted. And so, I mean, I second guess myself. I was walking in my old neighborhood and this man came out and just told me, "Hey, you're not supposed to walk on this sidewalk." He said that to me. And the first thing that came through my mind is he's you know, prejudiced against Hispanics. Well, this lady came down and she told me that he's just not well in his mind. He does that with a lot of people. So what I'm saying is that my first instinct was, oh, he's attacking me for being brown.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't the case in this case, but
he was just crazy.
He's just crazy. But you know, it happens now more so. So if you have a kid who maybe gets taunted for whatever, it's a minor thing. It escalates into, oh, it's because I'm this, which I understand why they would think that way. And so they want to isolate themselves more.
Yeah.
So I understand that.
Well, I think music's a way to kind of unite us and, you know, to celebrate cultures and, I think there's a lot of beauty, like what, and then in the Hispanic community, you know, we think of one, but it's multiple.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, the Anglo, right. Just think one, oh, it's Hispanic, it's one way.
Well, that's true.
But that's, there are hundreds
right.
of different.
Yeah. So when I, for example, you know, we have a translation button, you know, on our website, you know, it's Spanish and English. And it came down to what flag, because I can actually pick a flag, and we actually decided to use Spain's flag. Because if I just use the Mexican flag, it doesn't represent Venezuela or, you right. know, or Colombia or all the, and we have folks from all over in the parish that, you know, are different parts of the Latino community. So, right. so, you know, so we just kind of pick that as our neutral zone, you know?
And has everybody responded okay?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean,
that was recommended to me by okay. the Hispanic community.
Because, okay. I mean, I've yeah. had many, you know, I traveled to Peru yeah. and the first thing was they gave me the, like, oh, the, you know, the invader, because, you know, we Spaniards
oh, yeah.
in South America were the, but then they yeah. hear me talk, and my dad's Mexican. So my dad was Mexican, my mom from Spain. So I have a way, I don't have that thick Spanish, or I can soften it. It was just me softening it enough to, for them to be okay. Yeah. You respect our culture. So it's incredible that the differences between cultures.
I think you have a unique, mission to undertake.
Obviously it seems, I feel like, you know, a road is being passed.
A road is, paved. Yes.
A bridge builder.
Getting yeah. this kind of vibe.
To. I would love to.
Yeah. You are the dreamer, brother.
Well, yeah. Speaking of dreamers, I have a song that I'd love to play for you guys called Dreamer. And it is about unity. So here we go.
Fast, I can't keep up. What I had then is not enough. Keep the truth inside a cage. I see the sun, but I feel rain. When you're here, my mind slows down. The noise outside starts turning down. I close my eyes and I start dreaming of cities painted colorblind, where human race loves every kind and sharing takes a whole new meaning. Outside starts turning down. I close my eyes and I start dreaming of cities painted colorblind, where human race loves every kind and sharing takes a whole new meaning. So come inside.
We'll be right back on Living Real Radio.
You're listening to Living Real Radio on Hippie Radio 94.5. Living Real Radio is sponsored by Closets by Design. Please visit our sponsor.
Welcome back to Living Real Radio with your host, Julianne Staley, along with John Angotti and Greg Walton. And today our guest is his artist name. Is that what you call it? Is sure. Hobo Kane. But we have Javier here who has been enlightening us with that. I mean, just now that beautiful song Dreamer, and the last line of the song that stuck out to me. I mean, you repeated it, but there's room for more.
There's room for more. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I just love that line, and it kind of resonated with me with my own struggles and issues in trying to build one community at St. Philip. And I think to give some background, I wonder if it's a generational thing, because right now we have kind of two youth groups are trying to fuse together. And I touched on this with Ansel a couple of weeks ago, but when I first started at St. Philip, we had one youth group and there were probably like 10, 12 kids from the Hispanic community who came to the youth group, and I did not think a thing of it until there was a lady who came and said she wanted to start her own youth group and make it just Hispanic. And I struggled with that because I felt like it was the opposite of integration. And I lost those kids immediately when she started up her own youth group on a different night. And so now we've come back together, but the kids, the kind of their attitudes have changed since they separated. And it was hard for a little bit because we even came back to one night, but we'd have dinner together and then separate. And it was like, that particular adult was trying to pull the kids to go with her when we'd already built this community and gone on retreat, and the kids had all bonded and really enjoyed being together as one youth group. And then after that retreat, she's like, okay, back to our two separate groups. And that's where I felt torn. And I felt like as an adult, that was bad on our parts to allow that to happen. And I think a lot of times what I see with kids is when the adults take a step back and let the kids do their own thing, it's all going to work out because they can find their connections or their common bonds. And I don't know, like, I just wonder from your perspective, Javier, you're not born in the United States. And like,
I was.
Oh, you were?
I was. I have
what?
A very, my, yeah, I was.
So you're in Germany and Spain.
I was born in DC, but I was two when we moved to Spain. My dad's Mexican American, my mom Spanish. So for me, I was, you know, kind of, I was born here, but I was raised all in Spain and Germany.
Okay.
But I do understand about integration a lot because, yeah. I went to, from kindergarten to 12th grade, I went to 8 different schools in 3 different countries. So, of course I had no choice when I remember being in 7th grade and moving to Georgia, and there was no choice for me to find a Hispanic group for me to hang out with. But the thing is, for me, I didn't think I was Hispanic. I thought I was from Spain. So this whole Hispanic, Latin, generalization was really hard for me because I didn't understand it. I knew my dad was from Mexico. I had friends from Argentina. I was from Spain. So I didn't understand this whole Latino or Latin thing. I thought I was white until I came to the States. That's always a joke I always say when I'm playing shows. I go, well, I thought I was white until I came to the States, you know, because it's true. It's like, I never thought I was like Hispanic. I remember when I used to have to write down, you know, what, now it's, ethnicity, but at the time they would say race and it would have Hispanic. And I was like, I don't know. That's not a race. It was confusing.
Yeah.
So anyways, what I'm getting at is that I understand about wanting to be in a comfort zone. Mm-hmm. So when you have kids that want to gravitate towards something they know, that's normal. Mm-hmm. I don't agree that we as adults have to create that gravitational pull for the kids, because I really think that, I mean, my kids don't know color. I mean, they do. They think all colors are beautiful. Mm-hmm. And it's through learning that we start creating that divide, that difference, that sense of, oh, they're different. So, okay, so then we do have to be in this place. And I think that's what the choice of separation creates. Having said that, I understand the sensitivity of you know, the adults wanting to protect the Hispanic kids, especially in the environment we live in. Mm-hmm. So I think it's something that would be important to talk to the adults, to train the adults on how to approach this. But I think it would have to be somebody who understands different cultures, especially different Hispanic cultures.
Right.
I mean, I remember I used to play soccer for the Latin League in St. Louis, and I played for a Honduran team, and I played for a Mexican team. Mm-hmm. And I was always España. That was my name. It was like I was España. But it was incredible because there were maybe 2,000 Bolivians in St. Louis at the time, and there were 3 Bolivian societies. That's how they couldn't even get along. Mm-hmm. So what I'm saying is the divide happens, you know, it's integral. It just happens within different micro communities. So when you separate, let's just say that you have, Hispanic group of kids, and you separate them on the basis of language, because honestly, it is not good to separate them from as culture, because then you're showing your ignorance. Because what if a kid is from Peru and the other one's from Mexico and the other one's from Argentina? You're saying that they all have the same culture, and that's not the case. So you're only separating due to language, and you're living in the United States. I think it's incredible to maintain your own culture. I speak to Spanish to my kids. I hope they are bilingual. Mm-hmm. But aside from the importance of learning many languages, I think it is important when you live in a country where the dominant language is whatever it may be, to learn that language. Mm-hmm. So I think it's an incredible opportunity for these kids, all of them, to learn English, to learn Spanish, and to learn about each other. We just have to make sure that it is a safe environment for those kids.
Yeah, and I think language and culture, like you mentioned, are separate, but I think language is the connection and the commonality sure. for a lot of these kids. And the parents, because they're in the United States now, they're clinging so hard to the culture that they came from, whereas the kids are kind of, like a lot of the middle school kids for sure, but high school kids, they can no longer read Spanish. They can speak it, but they can't read it. And so I think clinging to that is part of, I mean, just in the United States, when a lot of you were talking earlier about like when people come to the US, you know, the Irish or whoever, and how they were treated differently. But that's how most of these neighborhoods were set up in large cities like New York City. You have Little Italy and Chinatown and all these places. And so I think it's hard being in just kind of like Franklin, Tennessee, and trying to keep your culture when you're, you know.
Well, and it is. It happens with me. I have two kids, and one is 12, and he's bilingual. But it takes a lot of effort, and it does take money sometimes, because, I have to take him to Spain mm-hmm. for him to keep that connection.
Yeah.
You have parents that don't have that ability. Not only that, they've made it so difficult today where people are afraid to leave the country in case they don't let them back in and things like that, you mm-hmm. know? So, the community that's right now, the country is not helping them. It's not working with them to help them maintain that culture, because I think it is really important. I find very important for my kids to know their culture and to speak Spanish. Not only just like my dad wanted me to learn English. I was going to Spanish school. I grew up going to Spanish school. My first language is Spanish. I didn't speak a lick of English. And my dad noticed this, and he sent me to an American school. Now, it was a military American school, like a Department of Defense, because my father worked for the base. Mm-hmm. For me, it was like frightening. I mean, I went and I spoke no English, and all of a sudden I'm in this American community, because the base is like little America. I'm an American community, and I spoke nothing. And I learned, and it was difficult. But I'm so thankful that I was able to learn English and to keep my Spanish. And now I'm trying to pass it on to my kids. But I also want them to integrate themselves in the community. Both. I think it's both. Yeah. I want them to teach them about the Spanish culture and
yeah.
that they know. I don't think there's nothing wrong with either. I think we're fighting against something that we all could be benefiting from.
I agree.
So yeah. What would you suggest? How would we unite? Throw a big party?
You know what? A party wouldn't be bad. I'm not kidding.
I know. That's what I said.
I mean, I think celebrations, yeah, breaking bread is such a great way of doing that. Through music and through conversation. I think dialogue is the key. Mm-hmm.
Kinship. It's a big word
yes.
for me.
Yeah. Kinship. Yeah.
Kinship.
I'll start calling you Kin.
Yeah. But you put a dollar in the jar every time you say
every
that.
Every time I say kinship.
Yeah.
Kin. Dang.
It is true. Yeah. I mean, it's
it is.
True.
It's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you got another song for us?
Sure. I'm going to play a song called Hold On to Nothing. It's a song that speaks about the spirit of living the moment and trying to enjoy things as they come.
Hold on to nothing.
Okay.
Here we go.
It's the start of a new day. If I don't run, slow down, there isn't much more I can do. Dream on, don't stay. The world is moving at its own pace. Why waste my time trying to see what's on the other side? If I let it now, will be my guide. Hold on to nothing. Hold on to nothing. Live on, break through. I know the past will never change, but learn I do. So I try to work up another smile, and then I see how easy things will rearrange. The switch turns on and the light goes in my head like a song that writes itself. Sing all the things I never will. Hold on to nothing. Hold on to nothing. Don't shut down, break down. Everyone's gotta make this life count. To leave and then you change your mind, I won't be unkind. Someday I may also hesitate, so kiss me now. Who knows what comes after this? You've got to make it count. Hold on to nothing. Hold on to nothing.
Ask you a little faith question. So, you know, I know you're Catholic, and how is your faith journey in this crazy world with all this diversity problem? And, you know, how do we maintain, where's Jesus in the middle of all this in your life?
I think he's in the forefront for me. I think for me, Jesus and God are watching. They've put out the pieces for us to make a move, and I see Jesus' message more vibrant now, more than ever, and more pertinent and more important. And so for me, it's the message that keeps me faithful and hopeful. I've had many doubts all my life, and I think through as a Catholic, doubt is a very common thing. I've written many things about that. But one thing I have no doubt is that the message of Jesus is the key to resolving any and every issue, and especially this one. I don't know if there are always going to be poor in this earth. There's always going to be turmoil. But I think if we maintain Jesus and God in love through that, I think we'll come out ahead. So that's what keeps me hopeful. If not, it definitely looks pretty grim.
Yeah. I think the message sometimes gets, depending on somebody's agenda, can get thwarted. It can get turned to, what is the message? if you're saying, you know, what's Jesus' message? What do you say Jesus' message is?
Well, it's the easy one for me. It's just to love one another. If you love one another, then it's everything else falls into place.
And yet we've had people, and I know you, who mm-hmm. say that love is sometimes telling somebody they're wrong.
I don't think love tells you anything. I don't think love is, I think love is, I see love as, I remember reading a book and it really grabbed me, saying a tree has shade, gives shade. You can choose to lay under the shade or not, but the tree has shade. You can choose to be in the shade or not. You can choose to be in the sun or in the shade, but the tree has shade. Love is. You can choose to love or not to love, but I don't think love is telling you anything.
Well, you know, in the foundation of the Christian understanding of God, that the revelation we get from Jesus about that is that God is love. And that is defined as agape. You know, when we look at scripture, you know, there's agape, there's eros, romantic love, there's filio, there's, you know, brotherly love. But the word that's always used in description of God and the way that Jesus calls us to love is agape, which we're told is to love other as other, just as who they are, no agenda, not to love with some sort of moral desert as a result, you know?
Yeah.
And that's what Jesus brings us to, you know, and you're on point, Javier. Rocking it, you know.
Well, I mean, it's all, to me, it just, I've tried to be judgmental. I've tried to with love, trying to say, you know, you're doing it wrong. I've tried, you know, we expect things from people. We put that's it. We are always creating expectations. And that's not love. I mean, there's, you know, I just listened to this incredible podcast about the song Nature Boy. And I do that. So Nature Boy is in my album. I love that song. But his name is Eden Abes, who wrote the song. Nat King Cole made it to number one. And many people have covered it since. But Eden, he came back. He's passed away since, but he came back to the studio like in the 80s. He wrote it in 1943, I think, the song. He came back in the 80s saying, I need to re-record this song because I've been saying this incorrectly the whole time, because the line is, the greatest thing you'll ever learn is to love and to be loved in return. That's the line. And he said, it shouldn't be that. It should. The greatest thing is you'll ever learn is to love and to be loved. Not in return, because if you're expecting it on return, then you're not loving.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, that is your expectation. And that is the, that is love doing something. See what I'm saying? That's when, that's when love is doing something, and then it's not just love. And the minute we do something with love, the minute love starts diluting.
Mm-hmm. What Jesus was speaking out against really was what some have called, Father Richard Rohr, he calls it ascending religion. You know, this idea that we got to get it all right. We got to be perfect, you know, and that's the culture that Jesus came into, that was happening with Judaism at the time. There was nationalism and legalism happening within the community. And Jesus says, no, the way that you bring it down, it's just the scriptures that we had about humility this past weekend, is to come down from that and to love, especially those that are considered other, you know, that's what he was crucified for. He threatened the system.
There's a great book, Joshua. Have you ever read that book, Joshua?
Yes.
And I mean, that's right there. It's, you know, coming back and saying, basically we all have it wrong.
Yeah,
we're all tainting the essence of the message.
Mm-hmm. And Jesus is about descending religion.
Absolutely.
Yeah, coming down, and being with everybody else, right in the grassroots.
Yeah. Well, we got a lot of work to do. You know, we're, as cultures are divided, you know, or nations, We have a church that's divided. We have a Christian faith that's divided based upon who's right or who's wrong about whatever you think. And I think it's time to start uniting and bringing people together.
Because love is a garden, right?
Love is a garden.
Love is a garden. And this is a final song from Javier, right?
Yeah.
And before we do that, just a couple things from St. Philip. Melanie Alvey's concert this next Friday on the 13th.
Yeah.
So we want to invite people to come to that.
Yeah, Avila Soul. Javier's going to be there.
I'm
performing Dreamer.
Yeah. Oh, are you? Please, folks, come to this. It's a wonderful concert. She did it last year with a lot of her original stuff, and it's going to be in our original church, which
I am so excited about. Yeah. It.
Give us the date and time of that again.
It is Friday the 13th at 7 p.m. in the original church here at St. Philip. It'll be worthwhile. It's a free will offering, so please come. Melanie is an amazing artist herself and arranger. So
yeah, string player, violin. So
I'm so excited.
Yeah, I was.
We also have Krista Santilli.
That's right.
Joining us too.
Santilli's going to sing a song or two, and so we invite folks to that. So anything else from St. Philip, from your communication end?
John, you handle it, man. Yeah.
Did I get it done?
You got it done.
All right, brother. We're going to turn this to you for our final song. So folks, go out and smile at somebody. Javier, thank you so much for your insight. And
my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
It's been a great conversation. We're going to continue to kind of unite and dialogue as best we can. So thank you for listening to Living Real Radio.
Cigarettes to burning from last night. Bottles on the floor. She's walking out the door. I remember asking her to stay. She never turned around when she walked away. We were young. We were cool. And the world was too big for me and you. Then it hit like a brick. Love is a garden. Love has to grow. Love is a temple, can't make it alone. Love is a lifeline, feeding us both. Love will remember whenever you don't. I feel it every time I hear your name. I try to let it fade, but you're running through my veins. The city's so much brighter than before. Girl, this ain't a feeling we can't ignore. Then your eyes locked in mine, and we move the earth under the lights. Then you said, this is it. Love is a garden. Love has to grow. Love is a temple, can make it alone. Love is a lifeline, feeding us both. Love will remember whenever you don't. Love is a garden, love has to grow. Love is a temple, can make it alone. Love is a lifeline, feeding us both. Love never leaves you whenever you go. Chisel every morning at the future, learning every dream into our lives, learning all the ways I can move her, prove to her the things I can't describe. We can start our kingdom in the nighttime, tearing down the walls when we fight. I don't get forever unless you're there. Let's get on this train and take a ride. Love is a garden. Love has to grow. Love is a temple, can make it alone. Love is a lifeline, feeding us both. Love will remember whenever you go. Love is a garden.
You've been listening to Living Real Radio, real issues in real time, with your host, John Angotti, Greg Walton, Robert Fiducia, and Julianne Staley. Be sure to tune in every week at 8 a.m. to Living Real Radio. Living Real Radio is sponsored by Closets by Design. Imagine your home totally organized by Closets by Design. Call them today to schedule your appointment at 615-261-8700. That's 615-261-8700.